It's just Tuesday. I don't even know what day it is, to be honest with you, and since my plate's all messed up. There we go. It's December 13th. Sorry. I'll turn it. There you go. Can you hear me now, Bangerson? Can you hear me now? Guys, what's up? Welcome. We are all over the globe. We are truly a global show today. Idra's in Korea. It's like the butt crack ass of dawn over there. Like, no Korean in their right mind is even awake now. 9 a.m.
Okay. Are you still up or just waking?
No, I just woke up.
You just woke up? Jeff's, of course, in the Phoenix EG team house, and I'm in San Francisco, so that means that Pain User is here in the room. And you know what? Before we get started, I'm just going to put it out here. We are well aware that Idra's microphone is a bit quiet.
I know,
in control. I know.
He's on Korean Windows.
I know.
You know.
What's he supposed to do about it?
He is on Korean Windows. We just tried very hard to get things, so we will all shush.
Unacceptable.
Although you should be able to guess your way through the volume control options.
I don't know, man.
I don't know if I could do that either.
Korean Windows is...
I clicked on the little microphone thing in control panel and Korean error message came up.
I heard that Idra's machine, when he got there, you know, of his, you know, 1920x1080, that literally the machine is like one fucking giant StarCraft II icon on the desktop. There's no other icons. It doesn't even say StarCraft II. It says it in Korean.
I can't believe they gave you a Korean machine, though. Like, what are you supposed to... You can't change any settings, like how you can't edit anything. What are you supposed to do?
I can get by. But no, it's really funny you say that, because for some reason desktop is set up so that all the icons are gigantic. There's not actually a StarCraft 2 on it, but you can fit like six of them on the screen.
So it's like extra large.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's like computer powered by Apple. You can't miss the internet icon. Like, burr, burr, burr. Now I want to go to email.
You scroll over the icons and like...
Yeah, they grow even
more.
Yeah,
it's really irritating.
Welcome to Inside the Game, episode 25, guys. Thanks for joining us. Idra, appreciate, you know, 9 o'clock is 9 o'clock, though. I know how that is. Usually at least you're sort of into your day. But how is that going? Let's start with you. I know a lot of people excited to have you back on the show. Want to hear a little bit about how the adventures of Idra have been going. I did see your photo, CJ and Idra reunion, if you will. That looked really exciting. So
yeah, they just happened to be at WCG playing one of their Pro League matches, and I didn't know they were going to be there, and then I ran into Shano, the CJ manager dude, and he just brought me back to meet all of them again. I hadn't seen them since I left CJ, so that was really cool. And just generally, everything's been awesome. I mean, the house is really nice. It's in a really good area, so I'm happy with that. It's kind of small, but it's about the same space per person as CJ was, so that doesn't bother me at all. Trish doesn't like it too much, but it's fine. And the players are actually a lot more friendly than StarCraft 1 players were. I think it's kind of, it's just like they're older. It's a much more relaxed system. Just generally, everyone's more chill.
Does the friendliness have anything to do with the fact that there's definitely been more of a synergy or interaction or mixture, if you will, of foreign players and Korean players as far as StarCraft 2 is concerned? Because, I mean, you were kind of an exception to the rule.
I suppose that could be, but most of the people in the house haven't really gone to foreign tournaments. I think only MMA and Boxer have gone to a lot of them. So I don't know how much I chalk it up to that. But also, I am like much higher within the competitive scene than I was in StarCraft 1, so I get a lot more respect from that. So I suppose that could be some aspect of it.
Interesting. Right on. Right on.
Yeah.
What's up with you guys? What's up with you, Pain User?
Much, man. I just got done casting an epic series between Quantic IM and Cole MVP. And they busted out all their Koreans tonight.
Huh? Spoilers, God!
They're just one-upping each other.
Pain User, God!
Did you spoil?
No.
No, that's not pre-recorded, is it?
He said they used multiple Koreans, so now I know that each team... Yeah. Oh, my. I was going to watch it, too. But now? I probably still
watch it. Now you should watch it. Yeah, exactly.
Probably still watch it.
What about you, Jim?
But I won't like it. I won't like it, Pain User. Be a little bit more critical of you guys when I watch it.
What about you, Jeff? What's going on in the world of EG in control?
It is raining like hell in Arizona, which is freaking awesome. I really, really like it. You can hear the pitter-patter on the window. And my dog is really confused at his first rain, having been an Arizonan English bulldog. He, like, walked out and started hitting him, and he was like... he kept trying to bite the fucking rain. I actually watched that for, like, a solid 10 minutes the first time. I just sat there and was like, wow, this must be so cool for you. So that's the weather in Arizona. We're all just kind of winding down. DeMuslim has his lovely lady here, and they're streaming a lot and enjoying that. DeMuslim's getting a lot of games in.
Yeah, he is.
Because he's making his way to Korea fairly soon, where he will smash face in the name of Queen and Country. The rest of us are just getting our, you know, this is the only time we're going to get a chance to go home and see our family before the next big push, which is 2012. So I'm still streaming, I'm still playing, and just having a good time that way. This will make Greg really happy, but Greg, I will admit, there's a little bit of latency on the Korea server from here. Just a little bit. And I didn't really notice it until yesterday when I played for 8 hours. I was like, you know what? Something's wrong. It's still very playable, and I still enjoy it. But I think what it is I won't stream while I play Korea because it taxes like the connection too much or something. So.
Really? We've actually discussed it before on the show about the latency and how bad it sucks. But you guys have all just been playing more on the Korean server. Is that it?
It's definitely the best place to play. If you get, like... Greg said this in the past, too, and it's very true. There's on and off days. There's some days where it's perfectly fine, and then there's other days where if you're going to play on that server, you really can't be doing things like streaming music and streaming your games at the same time. But the cheese is much more refined. The gameplay is higher. The amount of real games you'll play against your opponents is higher, so you're not going to get that random one-based battlecruiser rush too much.
What does it mean by the cheese is a bit more refined?
It's like...
It's situational via the map. It's not just like they went into this game and they're going to six pool now. And then, go ahead, Greg.
It's much more thought out. There'll be like multiple layers to it, or a fallback, or if it is an all in, it'll be like a well designed one. Whereas Florence is just kind of pick and build and do it. Fuck it, that works. But like if you watch 4G stream, it's like three cheeses in a row. Like he opens up with really fast, like unusually fast alien pressure. Then he has Cloak Banshees come out, then he has Blue Hellion Drop come out, and then he does a Hellion 4 timing. So it's just like everything works together, and there's like synergy there. It's well designed, and there's actually thought into it instead of just saying, oh, I'm going to try and get a quick win here.
I've been watching 4GG stream a lot.
And
good, man.
For the people that didn't just hear Greg said, that's too bad, because that was Greg. You just solved StarCraft 2. You guys will have to check out the VODs, because I'll tell you what, Greg just said that, I'll be it quietly, and I'm like, blown away.
Whoa.
Wait.
Oh, too much.
Oh.
Is that good?
Hey.
Well, that was you guys. I have like two streams open, so I was hoping.
Yeah, the Gun Run is busy trying to save esports by fixing audio, so you know what, chat? Shut the fuck up. I don't know why I looked at the microphone when I said, but I really felt like my words would penetrate their fucking brains if I talk fucking directly.
Dear Mr. Wheat, okay, today I
found a setting.
Like,
is
that happening?
Yeah, that sounds great, man. That sounds great. You know what? In fact, so since you turned up, I'm going to turn myself down and just because I feel like we need something.
I think we should move in the other direction where we all turn ourselves up relative to Greg, so he's still considered. dear Mr. Wheat. Okay, so I came home from work with all the time I inside the game, but then you said, fuck me. I will no longer follow your Twitter, I will not watch your show, and I'll tell my friends not to watch your show. And you might be like, who's your friends? I work at Boeing, okay? Hundreds of people. Hundreds.
Actually, you know, you're probably not that far off in control. You're probably not that far off. Well, before we actually jump into some stuff, I have a personal thank you to you guys, to OrbTL, who has also helped me. I have been spending a little bit more time playing StarCraft 2 so that I can become better, you know, as a commentator as well, because I feel like it's very important. And I, even though I've been traveling a lot and doing a lot of events, this season I had one goal, and I have two Smurf accounts, and I wanted to hit diamond in both of my Smurf accounts. And I would like to say that as of, fuck you, pain user, fuck you, seriously, okay?
It's good.
Well, as of Sunday, I have done it! Yes!
On a serious note, let's give it up for the casters that pretend that they have accounts and ranks that they don't. All right, Day 9, DJ Wheat.
No.
Probably Total Biscuit.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit, son. Oh, shit.
Okay. Really appreciate it. Don't want to get the Smurf out there, because then, like...
Oh, here we
no,
go.
Fuck it. Fuck it.
Try to message me, even though I can block it.
I'm not going to let you call me out like that and then not prove it.
Wheat's about
control.
To one-up you right here.
Yeah. I'm about ready to fucking...
I see the StarCraft Wings of Liberty loading as we speak.
I also actually have a mini-announcement. I would like to reveal the fact that, yes, it was me playing on Jock G's account in the previous GSL. So thank you. I had him standing in the booth, and I played via proxy, but... yeah, Terran's really good, so I thought I would give it a shot.
Do you think I could cover my name up with the arrow? Do you think that might work?
Yeah, yeah, pull up some Diamond Guys account. Go ahead.
There we go. Nope, this one's mine, buddy. This one's mine. There we go. Boom! Boom, bitches! Yes! I'm not going to show you the other one, though. I won't do that.
I'll take
I
your word
do
for
that.
It. If you
yeah.
can get one, you
there
can
we
get
go.
Another one.
That's right. Right, that's right.
Yeah.
Next season, guys, Masters, thank you. Thank you for the help, guys. I appreciate it.
Break 24. Sounds like next season you got to work on breaking that top beta.
Hey, I just hit it on Sunday, dickweed. God, busting my balls already. Holy shit,
oh, so
man.
It's a 24-man division, then, is what you're saying.
Yeah, no. All
right.
Yeah, man, cheers. You know what? I'm just going to keep my little successes to myself. Oh, Jesus. All right, everyone knows that Styles is my new one, so thank you very much.
Take it easy.
Yep. All right, guys, so let's actually jump into some of the topics. The popular topic right now, and I know that there's some people in chat that are like, I don't want to hear another word about Naniwa. Either because they've already heard it all, or because they don't like Naniwa, or... But you know what? I think this is actually, like, a really good discussion, because it's not very often... You know, you can get Slasher's opinion on it, but fuck Slasher. I want the opinion of Greg, In Control, and Pain User, because you guys do compete at that level. Idra, were you at the Blizzard Cup by chance? Did you go, or...?
No, I was just in the house. They had... I wasn't watching that game. They had the streams on. I know what happened. And I don't blame Naniwa that much. I mean, obviously, he could make a show of it. He could be like, oh, I'm going to play this out for the fans. But you just get 3-0'd. You're a really competitive person. That's incredibly emotional. You don't want to sit up there and play. And, like, it's a meaningless match. There's absolutely no reason to compete in it or to play your best or to show a strategy prepared or something when there's nothing at all to gain. It's the responsibility of the tournament organizers to make sure that situation doesn't happen. I mean... Stefano in DreamHack, when he was already eliminated, he safe pooled in 7-Rush Rush or whatever versus Cloud, and he didn't get any shit for that. And there have been situations in the past where I had a meaningless game where I just flat-out forfeited because I didn't think it was worth it to play. You shouldn't expect players to put forward their best or to play at all in that situation.
I totally agree. Naniwa's a super emotional guy, too. Like, he gets pissed.
Well,
even in practice games.
Let's be fair. Like, all of you guys are emotional in some way, shape, or form, right? I mean, like, every player that I know has some sort of emotion that comes into the game, whether that helps them or hurts them or, you know, I can't fault the guy for being human.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't know why people would be upset with him for that. It's his prerogative. You know, at the end of the day, it's really up to him.
In Control, you kind of have this... puzzled look on your face.
I feel like I could answer this in the opposite way with, like, five different styles. And one of the ways I would first do it is I would speak to Greg's... I'm just calling Greg. To Greg's pragmatic tendency, I would say, in that you actually get less of an issue, you get less attention negatively, if you just play it out. Like, you don't have to give your 100,000%. Like, let's say he just says, I really don't give a fuck, I'm going to four-gate. So it takes him 5.5 minutes to lose or possibly win. Or he's going to six-gate. In those situations, perhaps it's on him giving it his 100%, but nobody looks at that and says, you threw that match, I have an issue with that. Whereas when he just drone rushes, or worker rushes, as it were, there's actually... it's a 0% win rate and everyone knows what you're trying to do. Like, there's no ambiguity.
I can guarantee that was part of it. Like, he wanted people to know he wasn't trying, so they couldn't interpret that as another, or as a loss to nesting.
Right, and in which case I would probably go into my second stage, which for me is where more of the emphasis is. We as players have an obligation, and when you sit down with a player on a stage like that in an event like this, which is a end of the year major competition, even if you are mathematically eliminated, you are still giving your team exposure, you are still giving your fans the match that they want. It's Nesty versus Nanua, there's some history there. And then you're paying the game respect as well. Like, if I like A move my workers and get up and walk out of the booth, and it's not like that's what people were asking for, you know, and to your point, is he sending that message? Sure. Then what I would say is that what he needs to do is behind closed doors, maybe in a thread or something, in a more professional forum, and say, I really disagree with this format, and I would like for change. Does he do that, and then all of a sudden the fucking GSL guys go, oh my god, he's right. We shouldn't have that format. No, they get a scapegoat, essentially. They get to say, you're not a professional. You're a jackass. And you cost a lot of us a huge opportunity. Whereas what I think the actual attention should be on is, I agree with you, Greg. I don't think that match should be there. Like, it's kind of weird to have two guys play a match that absolutely doesn't matter. But to have a protest in that forum, in that way, it slanders the game. It's bad for Nanua. He's getting more attention than he ever wanted in the negative way. And it's giving everyone in Korea a reason to look at foreigners and say, what the fuck is wrong with you guys? Like, if you guys do this shit and people don't really care, then we don't have that much respect for you. I mean, he's getting called out. He's getting hung out to dry. And if he just would have done some stupid strategy that has a 5% win rate and made it look like he tried, nobody would give a shit.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I agree with that. There's definitely a more professional way to handle it, and you do have an obligation to your team and the fans. But at the same, I mean, it's like, Nanua is just the type of person who could easily do something like that. Like, I could easily see that happen. It's happened in practice games where we don't even finish out a best of series, where he just loses the game and just like bounces and leaves and logs off and goes on Europe or something like that. He's just like a really temperamental, emotional guy. So, and I could see him getting pissed off after a 3-0 like that and just snapping real quick. But I mean, I agree with everything Jeff said. It's not. You're right.
I think everyone agrees that they know A, Nanua could do it, and B, on some level, he probably shouldn't have. What I'm pleading for is for a unified, non-Korean fan-based stance where we expect more. I want to see Nanua versus Nesty because, damn it, they made an awesome story at MLG. I don't care if it's purposeless or not. That's a freaking awesome match for me because it's Nanua once again saying, LOL, you're the best Zerg on the planet. Leenok trucks me over every time I'm playing, but I crush you. You know, like, I want to see that every time. I hate it when it gets downplayed. Even as a sports fan, when that happens in sports, I'm not happy, but if there's contact involved, at least they have an excuse to sit their quarterback when they're up 55-0. There's actually nothing to gain from that, because he could get hurt, and that injures the career.
And
now, if someone wants to make the like, fucking arthritis argument that Nanny was saving himself from, then I'm just going to punch
No, did someone really make that argument?
No.
Oh, okay, saying, like, God.
Well, maybe
now, however, I would not be... I mean, obviously the format is a good thing, too, but because the format yielded nothing regardless of the result, if you were Nanua, who is one series up on Nesty, I'd kind of want to keep that, you know, for myself. And so, by what he did, it kind of allowed him to say, sorry next time,
and
keep that, I'm still the better of us too, because me throwing my workers at you doesn't, is that too bullshit?
Were you that kid in childhood that would, like, play to best of, you know, to seven in basketball, win the one game?
And they'd be like, best of nine.
Now, this is different than that, because, like, that's a situation where it's pretty much impossible to play your best. You're not going to be focused. You don't really have the proper kind of motivation. You're not in a good mental state. And so going to that, it's going to be a lot. Honestly, Nesty was in the same situation, but still.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Not a situation where you want to play. So, yeah, I mean, he did beat him 2 times legitimately with a cannon rush at MLG, and he kind of wants to hold on to that to then go and play him like this, where he's obviously not going to be able to play his best. You don't want to do that on top of everything else.
Okay. So let's
We got smurfed on the East server in Brood War as well. That's what I'm hearing right now. He's like,
it's true.
Yo, dog, I beat you that one time. No re. Get
don't,
out.
Don't give my 17. Don't give my shit away in control. Come on now. What do you guys think about the? I mean, is this a bannable offense?
No, of course not.
I don't think so either.
Well, okay, I don't think it is. I think we all agree on that. But you have to understand there's different factors going into this.
Okay.
It's not just like a, let's look at the error. He threw a match that meant nothing. He shouldn't get in. It's actually, Korea's dealt with this shitstorm of PR now, right? If they don't touch him, if they don't punish him for absolutely trouncing this in any way, shape, or form, then what's their deterrent in the future? Why don't people just, every time they don't care, they just throw the game? They have to do something. They actually have to.
Yeah.
The question is what, though? Like, what are their options as far as things that they can do to him? I mean, I don't think... Unless it explicitly says somewhere in the rules that, you know, you have to, like, play your matches with a degree of intelligence. Like, you can't just make stupid maneuvers to throw the game on purpose or something. Then I don't really see what you can do in that situation.
Let me clarify, too, because people in the chat are like, you know, it's a meaningless match. You shouldn't throw it. Like, please, we all agree.
Yeah, we know that.
Stupid. The point we're trying to make is the way he handled it is not the way to do it. So now Korea is forced to do something. They have to. If they pretend nothing happened with all these articles and everyone talking about it, then that's Korea being weak. And they, if anything, if Koka taught us anything, it's that they're the opposite of weak. They come down like a hammer these days.
Well, that was. They are very sensitive about it because of the match fixing stuff from StarCraft 1, but in this situation what should happen is they should say, we fucked up, we had a bad format, we shouldn't have meaningless games, because you know, it's okay to hold players responsible if you have evidence of match fixing or something in a legitimate game where there was stuff on the line, then yes, that obviously needs to be punished. But this is a situation that shouldn't have happened. It's not the player's fault to some extent. I don't know if they'll do that or not, just because
I was just going to ask you.
Up in Aniwa, and they're not going to want to admit that they were wrong anyway, so I don't know what will happen. What should happen, Aniwa shouldn't get in trouble for that. It was a bad situation for him. He shouldn't have been forced into that.
As far as I'm concerned, what should happen and what will happen in this case are, like, completely different. I don't disagree with you again. I don't think
he'll punish that much.
Don't
Maybe,
you think...
Like, Command or something.
Don't you think the punishment has sort of already happened? I mean, like,
yeah,
the community, he's, you know, people are like, he's lost fans. The team, Aquanic, now has to do a little bit of, like, you know.
It's Naniwa. He doesn't give a shit.
I know he doesn't give a shit, right? But, I mean, for Quantic, I'm sure they give a shit. For sponsors, I'm sure they give a shit. Like, you know.
And it's going to blow over pretty quick. Like,
I agree.
As soon as Mary latches on to the next piece of drama, I don't think this is going to be that big of a deal at all.
Yeah,
I don't
well,
foresee it.
People are pissed off. People are pissed off now because they like being pissed off, and that's it.
Yeah, that's true. But I don't think GOM's going to announce, like, dear community, we think that Naniwa has socially received enough punishment by the lambasting of Inside the Game, Say the Game, and Fuck Slasher. We would like to move on now. Like,
yeah, well...
Maybe it's small. Like, here's what I would say, if we're all betting people. I would say, if Greg is right, and they kind of realize that perhaps part of the problem is their fault, the slap on the wrist will be like, you will have to pay an entry fee of $200 to the next GSM. Or, if they don't think it's any of their fault, and they think it's ridiculous that a foreigner did something like this on their stage, they're going to say, you have a 6-month ban from GSL. Including your code S.
I can't imagine that'll happen.
That's
I think
really
they'll get a reprimand or maybe a small fine.
That's what Wolf was talking about.
Idra, have you gotten the opportunity? Yeah, Wolf did mention some stuff too, not only on Twitter, but I believe on Fuck Slasher. But are you aware at all of the Slayer's perception? Like,
Oh, yeah, they were all just like laughing and they thought he was an idiot. I mean,. Pretty much the same as the Korean's reaction on Twitter and everything else online.
Okay. Fair enough. All right, well, I mean, it is what it is. Right?
They weren't as offended as some of them people seem to be. I'd like to point out that it's fucking hilarious that Choi was talking shit about it when he got caught doing that rock, paper, scissors stuff online. And
yeah.
I'll take opportunity to make fun of Choi, so I'd just like to put that out there.
That's a good point.
All right. That is a good point, and a good point to move on with. So I wanted to just toss this out because there's been a lot of buzz lately from the fighting game community, as apparently they are spending a lot of time writing thesis papers, like giant books practically, on why fighting games are not esports. And the reason I even bring it up to you guys is because a lot of the parallels that they sort of demystify or disprove are between specifically the fighting game community and StarCraft, which in reality it's more like the fighting game community and esports in general. But there's actually one thing in particular that I wanted to talk with you guys about, because one of the biggest things that they do talk about is the culture, right? One side comes from the arcade, the other one comes from online. But I feel like that's a little bit misleading, because my culture in PC gaming growing up was LANing. And I think that you guys are in the same boat. Like,
yeah,
so
absolutely.
I want to hear from you guys. I want to hear, like, your start in PC gaming. Online, LAN, culture, you know, because I believe that it just is two different locations, quarters and an arcade. Mine happened to be my apartment, you know. I LANed for like 3 years straight in this one apartment, 2021 G Street in Lincoln, Nebraska, every fucking weekend for like 3 years. That was our culture. It, what, 2021 G Street? Dude, I'm sign it up, man. I'm good. But, I mean, who wants to start?
It's a Mia Rose movie.
Thank you. All right, so I'll start. My start in gaming was like a little bit of both. I mean, I used to go to penny arcades and stuff all the time, but definitely PC gaming for me. It started out with like the original Warcraft, Warcraft 1. My pop still plays the original Warcraft to this day, and I probably played that for the first time. God, I don't even know how old I was. Then Warcraft 2, then I got into FPS games with CS 1.6 and Quake, like Quake 2, Quake Wars. Quake World, awesome games. That's how I got into like competitive gaming, movement in FPS games, like learning how to use all the weapons and stuff like that. And that's when I really got into like competitive gaming. I realized how good certain players were. And then I got real into watching games of like Cooler and CZM and Zero Four and all those guys, and watched them play Quake 3, and it was just like, oh my god. And especially CPM. CPM was like really what kind of made me realize like just how good games A could be, and how good
for people that don't know what CPM
them.
Stands for. That's cocks per minute.
It's challenge pro mode arena.
Oh, sorry, I was,
that was a good one.
What about somebody else? What about the what about like the LAN part of it? Like, did you partake a lot in the? Okay,
I mean, we had online games. Like my generation, we had BattleNet with original Brood War when I was like super young, but we would LAN anyway just because it was super fun, like actually being near each other and interacting with people and playing games at the same time. Like, that was awesome for us. So we used to have LAN parties every weekend, even during the week sometimes. We played a lot of Diablo 2, and then really, like, competitive RTS didn't start for me for a long time until they announced StarCraft 2, and then I was like, screw everything. I want to get really good at StarCraft, and I started playing a lot of Brood War in anticipation for the release of the beta. And then, like, one of my buddies who has a friend at Blizzard ended up getting me a beta key and giving it to me. And then from there, I just played a ton of games.
What about you guys from a LAN perspective? And the reason I bring this up is because, even though the location of origin may have been different, I don't find them to be too dissimilar, to be honest. They were just sort of, like, location-wise. I mean, Idra, I know you have your background in Brood War, leading up to it, but was most of your initial experiences like all online, or did you embark on a lot of LAN type quests and whatnot?
It was completely online. None of my friends in real life played games competitively at all. They weren't into it. It wasn't their thing. So everything was by myself at home, and I didn't go to my first like event competition. Not until WCG 07 or 08, when I was already one of the best players in the U.S., so everything was on, like at home, online for me.
Should have grown up with us, man.
Do you feel like Do you feel like, you know, that was, I mean, the culture of the online, it was still a place where you met people, joined teams, competed against people from around the globe, etc.?
Oh, yeah, it was still a very social thing, and this social thing, like, added to it. I didn't start really playing a ton and getting good until I kind of found the group of players who then eventually became media, like Skew and Artosis and all them. And we would just sit on Vent and play on Hamachi for, like, 10 hours a day. And that was when I really started to get good, because there was that social aspect, and it pulls you in a lot more. Just it's a lot more fun.
Hamachi. Speaking of Hamachi.
What?
It's just, like, a super simple land
right.
that
is so sort of useful. Emulated the experience. In Control, how about you?
I guess I would say I'm a bit of a hybrid of both.
Okay.
The way Brood War started and was regarded, even vanilla StarCraft, you were known for the channel that you came from. I actually played on one of the more elite channels back in the day on the Cali server, which was Mavens, which is where a lot of the in guys hung out. And I'm not saying in as in like the in crowd, although that was one of the puns for the name of the team. It was actually just like Incinerate, Inquirty, in Agent 911, those kind of guys, myself. And you just play games all the time, but the point is, when people talked about like where you came from, it wasn't, I'm from the west coast of the United States, it wasn't, I go to this LAN or 21 Jump Street, wherever Wheat was playing, it's the channel that you came from, so it would be like Cali, Mavens, it used to be, X17 was a big spot, and that kind of got ran over by the Xbox generation, so then we had moved, like I used to play in a channel called... one of my first teams was called FS, which stood for Firestorm. This is really old shit. Yeah, actually, early days Fuck Slasher. I think that sentiment was there. And then it would graduate. Like, this idea was that none of your games actually really mattered until you did it offline. And that mentality, that tradition, I think rings true even now. Even people who have come from World of Warcraft or just picked up StarCraft II as their first actual competitive game, they inherit this kind of this idea that no games truly matter until you do it in person. And in StarCraft/Brood War, that was really important. So Artosis will tell you one of his first sentiments about me was that I was a hacker back in the day because
well, you were.
Wheat. Is these LANs would roll around and I would not be able to go. Of course, the actual reason was I was like 12 years old and my dad thought it was silly to send me to something like that, so I couldn't go. But that's where I came from. So, and I don't know. The fighting game community, it's kind of weird that they would write an article. I mean, you're going to have to illuminate this. What reason would someone have for saying, whoa, we actually don't have an esports idea. We don't really care to take it that seriously.
Honestly,
we just want
to... I mean, honestly, and we're going to discuss this probably quite a bit on Live on 3 tomorrow, but, like, honestly, I feel like it is... The best way I can describe it is, like, reverse segregation, right? Like, the fighting game community is basically going, no, we will not use your water fountain. Fuck off. We don't want to even use your water mouth, so go fuck yourself. Like, that's what I feel like it is. And I feel like, in general, they're basically making these statements that we are so different from every other community that we can't fit in with you guys. That's basically what it comes down to.
Like, the water fountain is actually a lush golf course resort that's like, hey... We'd love it if you guys join us. We're having a great time. And they're like, no, man, no. Anyways, then I hit AABB backspace forward. It's like, why not? Why not take it to the next level?
So, I mean, you know what? There's a lot of things that I appreciate about the sort of fighting game community and the culture and what they've done and how they were grassroots. But I do find it a little ironic that their largest major every fucking year is called Evolution. Mm-hmm. Yet, no evolution happens in the community at all. So we're going to...
It's called Devolution.
Oh, shit, son. Snap!
You know what, though, on a serious note? Can I just say this?
Yes.
Real seriously? When you consider the different fashion senses of the different communities, StarCraft is clearly at the top. and then it's Halo, and then somewhere below that are the Xbox generation, the fighting kids.
Really?
Can we get that up? I mean, is there
scientific empirical evidence?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you actually watch any of their events, the giant oversized shirt that hangs down to their knees with the low sitting pants and their ass hanging out, so mid-90s, man.
Wow.
So mid-90s.
Wow, Jeff. You went there, huh?
Everyone has graduated, obviously.
Yeah, we've graduated to
like... shirt, okay, stonewashed jeans, blinged out belts. As many rhinestones as you can fit on your body is basically what I'm getting at. And the fact that the fighting game community has picked up on that, I mean, Mike Ross is getting there. You know, he wears fairly effeminate clothing, but you need to go further. You got to go to the next step.
All right. Well, anyway, I just wanted to briefly bring it up. We don't have to go in. Hey, Jeff, give us an update on Rumble in the Bronx. I only got to catch a couple of games. I know a lot of people were really stoked about your efforts, and I think that it's great that, you know, we have these types of things going on. I heard about some of the wacky shit I didn't see about, like, unit switching and stuff like that that was going on. But give us the quick little summary of it all.
Rumble in the Bronze is a charity event for Child's Play. We do it yearly, at least 2 years in a row now. The general idea is that it's some custom maps, but mostly just 1v1s between bronze players. And I am supposed to make fun of them, but honestly, I can't take too much credit. Bronze players pretty much do all the work for themselves. But this year we raised $18,160-some-odd. We're actually going to close out the donation thing on the 30th, so there's still time to donate, but the idea is that last year we raised $3,300, and this year the StarCraft II community came out in droves. We had got the number one donation was $1,250.
Damn.
Someone just on the fucking spot said, yeah, sure, here, have some of my money. And it's one of the most proud moments I've ever had the StarCraft II community, because you know what? We had errors on call, you know. A couple of the UMSs didn't work out the way we wanted them to. My mic was acting up the whole time, and I listened back on it, and I was like, hey, control, shut up! I was like, fucking fix your mic! You know, I was stream chatting in the video I was watching of it. But nonetheless, the community came out. We did a seven-hour thing, and they... $18,000, man. Like, that's... I'm really proud. Like, I've been a part of some of those charities growing up that all kids have to do. And we're like, we're going to donate $200 to this hospital. And everything helps, by the way. Everything helps. Okay, so the kids watching right now, stay in school. Do your charities. But $18,000 pretty awesome.
Dude, $18,000 is pretty fucking insane, guys. Like, to me, that shows some ridiculous community powers. Like, I mean, you know, the community has shown itself over and over again, just, you know, how much they're willing to stick behind the activities, the players, just the game in general.
Not only that, like, that type of thing can actually bring a lot more positive light on the community than people would
yes.
think. Like, yep. Having huge tournaments with gigantic cash prizes is amazing, but if you do a charity event and you raise $18,000, like, that will get you a lot of acclaim in the positive light as well. So I really like that, and congrats, Jeff. That's awesome.
Yeah, and you know what? Props to, like, I had heard about it at the time, but I guess it didn't sink until now. It just reminded me. I just want to give random props. Chef in Destiny did a charity drive as well as TLO. I'm not sure how much TLO raised, but Chef and Destiny together raised about $30,000. So the StarCraft II community has a lot of generosity, and usually when we talk about that, that's in response to, like, a pro gamer getting sent to a tournament, or people being really nice and giving donations to a guy who lost his computer or something like that. This is just actually sweet fucking awesome sauce, and I have nothing but love and respect for the StarCraft II community that just got emboldened a lot because of this, so thank you to everyone that was a part of that. It was amazing.
Well, congratulations to all the guys. I mean, 18K is
stupid. Yeah, everybody
stupid.
Involved in that. Congrats.
Additionally, we are going to do some user emails. We did this the last time that we did a San Fran show because we can't take calls. So I will go ahead and just say you can send them out right now. We're going to take live questions, fire them off to ITG@onemoregame.tv. But before we do, I want to make an announcement that if State of the Game reaches 40,000 concurrents tonight, I will do a naked handstand, peel an orange while doing a beer keg and taking a 9-foot bong hit. So, guys,
wow.
40,000 tonight. We're going to do it. It's going to happen. And that will all be streamed as well. Not during the show, of course, later on. But
I actually just got a tweet from Mia Rose. She's going to do something very similar to that, but you have to replace a lot of those words. So just the community coming out to support that show and the idea of so many people showing up, just it really touches my heart.
Someone said that is impossible, and I know that you are wrong because I do it pretty much all the time. So I'm going to open up emails. And no, seriously, and you guys are going to play 2v2s if this happens. And, of course, I'll do what I just said I was going to do.
Yeah, you're drunk. And
is it going to be out of control tonight? I think it is.
Well, let me show you. Okay, so what we have going on, I'm supposed to consume this, contemplating doing it right out of the bottle.
Is that wine?
It is. And this is the backup. So, I mean,
that'll be proper. Two bottles of red, that'll
be. JP asked me, said, so what are you drinking tonight? And I said, oh, I'm just going to do what I did last year, Franzia. And a fan contacted me and was like, that's a stupid idea. That would be really dumb.
Why?
Because he's a wine consultant. So it actually offended him on some level. So he sent me a couple of bottles of really nice wine. So I'm going to get drunk all classy like.
Well, there you go.
So that's a classy bottle of wine, then.
Two classy bottles.
These are apparently... I mean, the joke could be that in the wine community, he actually sent me piss, but as far as I'm concerned, they are not in a box, which means, you know, bust out the good stuff.
High-class shit, all right.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
That's actually pretty cool.
I'm down. I'll be drinking beer.
Good night.
All right, word. Let's. We've already got a ton of emails pouring in. Like holy hell. So let's take this. Let's take this first one. This one's to Idra. Who do you like best in the Slayer's house? Who is the best practice partner? Who eats the most and who snores the most?
The EG guys have our own room, so I'm not sure about the rest of the team.
Well, but then who snores the most in the
Puma.
EG room?
Puma. Let me answer him. Puma.
Puma. Is it kind of like a growl? Like
it's really variable, actually. It's like the strangest snore I've ever heard. Sometimes it's like weird and halting, and other times it's consistent, like a normal snore. Sometimes he's silent. It's fucking irritating. I have earplugs.
The halting ones have to be scary. He like dies in the middle of the night.
And then we finally get some silence.
What were you saying about Chris?
No, I have earplugs, but Chris doesn't. I don't know how he sleeps at all.
Wow.
So, the other questions...
Who do you like the best in the Slayer's house? Who is the best practice partner, and who eats the most?
They're, like, all standing around me, and they speak enough English to know, I think, so... Okay.
They don't know the question.
Just drop a name. Drop a name.
It's even more awkward, because they'll get that. it's the guy who called
me. Do you want to type it? Like do you want to type it in chat, and then I'll say it? Okay, I like this. This is some fucking...
Greg being bashful.
Yeah, look at like that. You're right. You're right.
I'm not Greg at EG. Who's the best?
Really? Wow. Alright, are you ready for it? Greg's answer is Clyde and says that he's really funny. So
he's good too.
And he's pretty good.
He must be. He made a joke out of you.
Alright, who is the best practice partner?
Actually, the guy I played most with while I hear in practice games isn't on the team. It's Sage from NHS. He just plays like he will not stop playing. He goes over and over and over. And I suck for his Protoss, so it's nice to play with him. But all the Slayers guys are good too.
Awesome. And who eats the most?
Greg.
No, I don't. It might be me. Yeah. No one here has a gigantic appetite. Like back when I was on Istra, we had this one guy. Like he could have been an MMA fighter. He was 6'2" and big. And he ate a ton, but there's no one who really stands out in terms of that.
You're describing Monster or Superstar, aren't you?
Nah. No, he wasn't on Eastro. It was an unknown guy. He was young Akal, I think.
Not Melon.
All right.
Aaron was very skinny.
Let's see. What do we want to do here? I don't even know, like...
So many.
What is this one? I'm trying to figure out... Do you ever think players will get to a point where people activate Zealot Charge manually?
They do.
You know, you can't. Can you do? I thought you couldn't do that.
You can turn auto cast off, can't you?
No. I thought he's talking about the opposite side of it. Like, I'll stim a Marauder and, like, run it by all the Zealots and have them burn their charge, like, before.
Right. So in that instance, like, when you get charged, right, when it researches, your Zealots just immediately have it auto cast, yeah. Right?
Which, for our young Protoss players listening, that's actually the only applicable situation to have your Zealots dance. Marauder charges past you to burn the charge, slash dance. They're dancing instead of charging.
No shit. You actually have used this?
Absolutely not.
No,
I just
okay.
made this up on the spot, but I think it sounds good.
You probably could have fooled everyone by doing that. So. What do you think? You constantly see it misfire in games with enough APM, it would probably end up being more worth it to do it manually.
No. Each, like, individual zealot.
Like, yeah, you're like, that's like crazy. Fucking shifts.
That's crazy.
Is it not practical?
No.
Because you have to set it on a target, right? Like, you can't just do it to the ground.
Oh.
Like, it has to charge to a unit.
Let's not spend too much time about microing individual zealots.
Yeah. Well, no, because if you can just charge to the ground, then you select all the zealots and charge past the army, and then they charge. Yeah. But if you have to do it to a target, then that would fuck up.
You could actually alternate charge between the zealots and have them target main priorities and then have them charge to the further back unit so that you screw up the target firing of the AI of the MMM ball.
What? He was trolling.
He's totally trolling. I'm like waiting for the chat to like troll. Okay.
I think they would have thought it was serious.
In all seriousness, here's an idea for you, Greg. And honestly, the fact that you haven't started doing this kind of pisses me off. But when a Marine target fires a Zergling, you could actually burrow that individual Zergling and then re-unburrow them to get the target priority off of them. And if you were to do that throughout all your Zerglings, you know, tear it back, you could actually preserve their life by my calculations, by as much as 2 or 3 seconds.
Okay. This is one's from Mr. Logan, directed to everyone. Just wanted to ask the question, what are you guys most looking forward to in 2012? And, of course, it's going to be a new year, new events, everything kind of resets. So who wants to throw it out first?
I'm just looking for events to be off the hook. They're going to be way bigger, way more intense. A lot more money's going to be on the line. And there's going to be, like, you know, MLG and IPL are going to be going head-to-head. Nassel's probably going to step their game up as well. So just having the trifecta of tournaments right there. And also, you know, DreamHack did a crazy good job. So every tournament organization is just going to step it up, and I think 2012 is just going to blow everything out of the water.
Go ahead, Greg.
I think the American tournament scene is going to be pretty amazing. MLG and IPL are already taking, like, passive-aggressive pokes at each other, and they're just going to be, I think they're going to be competing head-on openly by the year. It's going to be awesome. And NASL, like, it's weird. No one went, but it was a really, really awesome show. Like, they had a lot of production stuff that other tournaments don't have, and it was really fun and well-managed. They had a player area for us. It was just, like, they treated us really well. I was really impressed with them, and they deserve a lot more attention than they get. They're not particularly good at hyping. If they just work on that, I think they are capable of competing, you know, with MLG and IPL for a premier tournament in the U.S., I think all that competition and all these events are already really good. It's going to be really great for everyone.
In Control, 2012, what are you most looking forward to?
There's like a calm before the storm, I want to say. I've personally been talking with ESPN, MTV. I know that Sundance is tweeting anywhere between $3 and $5 billion in prize pool next year.
At least.
I mean, everyone's bringing it up. They're right. The tournaments are going to step it up because everything is here. It's now. Like, the iron has never been hotter to strike. And I'm really excited to see where it goes because there's a bunch of slashes out there that'll be like, I don't know, I think the bubble's going to burst. And, you know, remember that. I don't think it will. I think it's going to. I think at least in 2012, it's going to get bigger, and it's just going to do amazing things. And I'm thankful for my background in Brood War, where it was like the biggest freaking deal if a team was like, listen, we are considering stipending your trip for $250, and this is a one-time deal. take it or leave it, you know. And now it's like, we'd like you to appear on our television show to talk about this thing you do. So it's kind of cool.
You know, for me, I hope that my $139 that I spent prior to the Blizzard Cup starting at GOM will actually let me watch content throughout the year. You know, just throwing that out there, GOM, please just stay alive for 2010, because I feel like that's a lot of money that I just put down. In all seriousness, though, God damn it. God damn it. How does it happen?
Close enough.
How does it happen? It's
like, tonight we're gonna party like it's 2000.
I don't know why the fuck 2000. Because I know the world's gonna end in 2012. I just won't accept it.
We can see Wheat with Mini Wheat, Jade huddled in the corner. With our fanny pack secured. What can we expect? I don't know.
But the only bomb shelter with an internet connection.
Guys, we're doing a show from down inside the bunker. But
DJ, we're on 5-on-3, but you're all dead, so I'm the only one.
And I really want to not only see, you know, StarCraft II specific. Obviously, I think you're all right. Bigger tournaments, bigger payouts. Now that we have the structure, now that we have an audience. For me, the biggest thing that I look forward to in 2012 is prize purses. I said it right, didn't I? 2012 is prize purses to players.
Oh yeah.
You know, like, I feel like that is the one thing. Now, I can't really put everything under that umbrella, because obviously IPL with their event, big prize pool for IPL 3.
MLG, that was pretty impressive as well. I mean,
what, the last one?
Yeah, no. Well, I was being sarcastic.
Okay. I thought you were trolling. So. That's it, Andrew. Like, I mean, I want to see MLG. I think that even online cups are going to start increasing a little bit. You know, like, even look at the beginning of this year where it was like, hey, guys, we got a cup for $50. Now, mm-hmm. Suddenly it's a cup for $250. I'm being serious.
No, I'm sorry.
Dude, I'm being serious.
I know. I got tweeted by Mia Rose's ass.
Oh.
The description is, the star behind the star.
That was
terrible.
I was. But it's all good now. Basically, I just want more money for the players. And I'm not talking about just StarCraft. I'm talking about, you know, if Counter-Strike starts to make it big with Go, I'm talking about the fighting game guys, I'm talking about everywhere, across the board. Like, people should realize what is happening and the audiences that are coming, the money that's being made, and so it needs to be stepped up across the board.
I totally agree with you. I think I would love to see other genres come up as well and actually have professional players, because, I mean, we have had professional players in the past for FPS games, but it's not a consistent living. It's not a consistent paycheck at all. Different tournaments pop up, they fail, pop up, fail. I mean, there's no consistency there, and your paycheck is as good as your last performance as far as a lot of the pros are concerned in FPS.
Speaking on behalf of the fighting game community, your cracker ass can keep your pro gamers and your professional gamers, right? I don't want none of your shit. We grew up in the sticks. Mofo, grew up in the sticks. And I ain't talking about no wooden sticks out in the foresty greens. I'm talking about sticks you play with your hands. When you play with your hands, brothers and sisters go down.
Oh, wow.
On the sticks.
Wow. Dude, you are going to be on the front page of every fighting game blog tomorrow. Jeff, I hope you realize that. Okay, you've opened up the can of worms, buddy.
You have to organize to really get some word out, so I'm not too scared.
Okay.
I mean, I don't understand the whole dilemma with the fighting game community. Like, what are they so upset about? Like, they don't want to conform to our, like, tournament system and
they don't want to use the water kind of fountain, retarded. Man. They just don't want to use the
water
fountain.
Okay, what is the water fountain, metaphorically? Like, our systematic approach to success?
The fighting game community has essentially, let's give credit where credit is due, has been a massive grassroots, like, effort, right?
And RTSs haven't been.
Well, it had. That's the point. That's the fucking point. Exactly. That is it. Is that this? A lot of these articles that are coming out are like, we are so unique. We are so unique. We are so unique. But to me, the communities are much more similar The yeah. only unique thing about each community is the game they play.
Yeah.
But sure. at the end of the day, it's all the fucking same. It's just like a different story that led to the same place. Yes, I don't get it. And so there it is.
Absolutely.
Well, people can have, like, in my experience, in my walks of life, in my 26 years, what I've noticed is the people that are overly concerned with being unique are the least unique of them all.
Shit.
Hipster fighting game fans, you guys make me laugh jovially.
Well, at least they accept the 09ers now. Because, like, all the guys that came in on console who, you know, you weren't from the arcade, you didn't grow up in our... Yeah, they're called 09ers because that's when, like, a new surge of Street Fighter players came in. It'd be like calling anyone who didn't play Brood War but played StarCraft II, like a tenner. You know, you're a tenner, man. You fucking didn't play Brood War. Fucking, you know, you're a tenner, man. So, anyway.
Gotta get rid of those 09ers.
What are In Control's thoughts on going to Home Story Cup for the first time, and is Idra going?
Greg is going, because I just said that he is. Greg?
Are you going?
Greg?
Grack, no!
Man down.
Grack is down!
Oh, he's not there? Okay, well, I was mostly joking because I wanted to put him on the spot. Greg's still kind of deciding whether or not he's going. But as far as my thought process on it, it's a dream come true. I've always wanted to go to Europe. I've actually never been recreationally or competitively. And I'm really excited because what better tournament to go to Europe than to takes like professional
barbecue
weekend of awesome. It's just fucking, I cannot wait to joke around with those guys. They're all friends of mine. I met them across the board in different events. There's a pub on the lower floor where you meet fans and kind of hang out and drink German beer and shit. I'm looking to go do the best I can. And obviously, it goes without saying, I'm not going to pro brush. I'm going to try as hard as I fucking can to win some games. And that's what I'm going to go do. So I'm really excited. I hope everyone tunes in and checks it out.
Are you excited to cast, too? Because I know that was kind of one of the cool things that was introduced with Home Story Cup, is sort of the casual couch casting with the players. Like, it's just a different type of commentary.
It's actually really cool, though.
It is really cool.
As a player, prefer that type of commentary a lot.
I love casting. I'm kind of jealous of you guys. I mean, the problem is I love playing and I love casting and I love fucking talking on shows about it and I like hanging out and dicking around in unserious games as well. Like, everything about it, I love StarCraft, so this event kind of encompasses a lot of that, and I'm really excited to get a chance to go and be StarCraft for a weekend.
Yeah, for sure.
And Idra, so you were about to give this epic speech about whether or not you're going, and then bloop.
What's up? It's not for sure yet. It's a hard decision because really after these last couple of months, I want to focus on bigger tournaments. Like, I had 2 months of not practicing and not, you know, being exhausted constantly, and it was just fucking terrible. I don't want to do that again. So ideally next year I'll be focusing only on larger tournaments, and given that I'm now in Korea, I kind of want to take the opportunity to just sit down and practice for 3 months before NLG and IPL start up and just play in GSL, because that doesn't require any travel. So if I would rather not go, but at the same time it is a great event. It is a lot of great exposure for our sponsors and stuff. So I may end up going anyway, but it's still up in the air. We're not sure yet.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll keep hounding you about it. So I got a really, really great question from Albert, ATK. He was actually the translator at NASL, if you guys watch that. So thank you, Albert. I think this is really good. So apparently on PlayXP, after the FXO Lenok and IMNST game, a lot of this debate started surging about StarCraft reaching a physical stage. And let me break it down. They have they basically have like a couple of examples. So they say first, the first people who won were the people who had interesting builds and unorthodox builds that won big tournaments, and they kind of cite OGSMC as that. And then they say the next step of this was people start to get used to the unorthodox builds, and people with better wits and game sense are getting the win. This includes macro and perfection of certain builds. And then they kind of label Nesty and MVP there. And now the Play XP, which keep in mind is mostly Korean netizens, so it'd be like kind of equivalent of Team Liquid in Korean, right?
Yeah.
So they're saying that now that everyone knows builds inside and out, now that people have pretty much, you know, more macro that's similar across the board, that we're now seeing people with better micro or physical games start winning. And they're saying Leenok plus younger pro gamers. So their Play XP is saying that they believe that the game is now hitting this physical stage. And he wants to know your guys' opinions about this. Greg, let's start with you.
I don't really think... I think they're drawing too many conclusions from too few games. Like, no, they saw that happen a couple of times and they overreacted. I mean, it's still a very strategical game. It's not figured out at all. If you watch a lot of those online leagues, people just die to random timings all the time. Even Brood War, towards the end, it wasn't purely a physical game, and that had 10 years of development. Is much more. It was much more of like a physically. It was more of a physical game just by its nature. So no, not at all. There are certainly situations where it comes down to control, but that's been happening since the start. I mean, that's just. There's always going to be games like that as long as you use certain strategies that revolve around micro. So no, to say it's like a complete stylistic change, or to say that the game has evolved to a point where control is going to be the defining factor, is pretty retarded. Pretty unintelligent. I don't think it will ever reach that stage, just because control is so automated in StarCraft II. Like, a lot of times, actually trying to manually control your units is counterproductive. It costs you damage, and it doesn't have a big enough return. So, no, I think it'll always be much more of a strategy, macro, timing game, especially timing. I think that's the biggest factor in StarCraft II, honestly.
Okay, Pain User and Control, what do you, Pain User?
I mean, I definitely agree with a lot of the stuff Greg said, but I want to say I agree with what he said, but I think that there is a trend heading in that direction, and I think we'll see more of it in the future, but the sample size, as far as data pooled so far, isn't even close to large enough to draw any kind of big conclusions about that. But I definitely think that the younger generation of pro gamers with insane macro and insane hand speed and just really good micro and reaction time, as time goes on and more builds and more timings get figured out and they can incorporate that into their game, they're just going to get better and better. And it'll get to a point where I think that we will see some of them start to win a lot of the majors. But, I mean, as is, it's still largely unfit. Like, the game's not, nobody solved it. There's new builds coming out all the time.
Right,
the
minigame
is constantly changing, and I see that on a week-to-week basis casting. I mean, it's always changing. So I think until the game reaches a much more stable point where almost everything's figured out, you know, like 6 years down the line in Brood War, we kind of saw a lot of the builds kind of stabilize, and people knew, like, what the best style to play was.
Well, and even in Brood War, you had players who were arguably better in their micro than they were in macro, and vice versa, right? So, I mean, that still existed even now. Is that, I mean, would you say that's accurate even in the...
One thing to point out there is that macro was actually a physical skill in StarCraft 1. It required a lot of hand speed and a lot of multitasking. It wasn't like it is now. It's just remembering to hit your production rounds or whatever.
It's apples and oranges. Okay, fair enough.
Definitely way harder to macro and brood war.
One thing, I mean, kind of one of the ways best answer this for me is one of my favorite parts about StarCraft, and that encompasses StarCraft, Brood War, StarCraft 2, is this game rewards components of all the above. I can name players down the line who had deficits in certain categories, but extreme strengths and talents in others, and they enjoyed the highest degrees of success. I can also name players who come close to the highest level of all three of those components. A player like Flash, Jadong, those guys would come to mind. But to speculate that the future of StarCraft will be overran by just pure physical monsters, if Brood War, a game that I think everyone unanimously would agree is a much more demanding physical game, can be used as a model, as an example, then I would say that's not the case. Certainly a player is really, really fast, and can figure out the strategy and work in the timings and the micro, they're going to do better, but that's because they're working on all cylinders as opposed to a guy who is just really fast. So I don't think this is going to become a game where the top 15 out of 16 are 12-year-old pianists. Pianists? How do you say that word?
Pianist.
Just feels weird saying that, guys.
Penis.
Not going to lie. It's not going to be like that. You're going to have your saviors with their low APM but superb game control. You're going to have your boxers who are reinventing the way the game is played and are literally taking wins out from under people, not because they're faster, not because they've macked better, but because they're outsmarting their opponent. You're always going to have that.
All right, Idra has dropped again. My next question was for Idra, so we'll try to find... Oh, here he comes back. Idra, and I want to hear your thoughts on this anyway. Where the hell did it go? Yes. So, Idra, Fainty asked the following. Leenok, Nesty, DRG, they're all starting to increase the usage of their burrowed banelings a lot, especially when they attack, Terrans forget to scan near their base, etc. What do you... Sorry, I felt like that was a little personal moment there that we had. Hey, by the way, Gonzi, tell him that I'm his biggest fan, okay? You don't have to do it right now, but after the show, you tell him that DJ Wheat is his number one fan, okay? Do that. Please do it for me.
Will do.
Okay.
If you want to understand, he'll get the idea.
Okay, yeah. What do you think? Burrowed Banes, have you been utilizing it more? I think that we compare a lot of Zergs of the way they play anyway. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, they're really good. I should use them more. Just everyone should use them more.
They're really good.
Yeah.
And the day, Greg, I actually asked for credit for that.
Why?
I've been telling Greg to do that for a long time.
Oh, okay.
I think everyone's known for a long time. It's just, I don't know. I win all my CVTs anyway, so I'm kind of lazy. I don't really innovate that much.
Fair enough.
Very true. You know what you just said. It's
I know.
You just did it. You just did it. This is the missed high five. It's just
I know. It's the.
Oh my god, Greg. My head's spinning at the media.
All right, let's.
It's okay. We got Manny Watt to cover it up. That's still fresh enough.
Yeah. Well, you're next, buddy.
I'm saying that hasn't washed over yet. They'll forget about this.
Yeah.
Let's see. Let's see. I'm trying to find a decent question that sort of.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, there's actually a ton, but a lot of them like there's 8 questions about Home Story Cup here. Let's see. What's this? Okay, sorry guys, some of these. Well, I've got on the back burner Goatless question. He did send one in.
We can fire that off anytime.
Actually, why don't we do that? Because we probably need to end on time anyway. So let's just go to Goatless questions, and then, of course, we'll do, like, our wrap-up takes 20 minutes anyway.
Yeah.
So he says, g'day, gentlemen.
G'day.
G'day.
G'day, mate.
You want to, everyone, g'day. In case you gentlemen haven't noticed, you've been copping a bit of flack for being too fluffy lately. I thought I'd give you the chance to be as unfluffy as you'd like by asking a question that demands a no-fluff answer. Question for everyone. Hypothetical situation. Choose one player and one caster who you would like to double in popularity, and one player and one caster who you would like to halve in popularity.
That's a fucking loaded question.
It is a loaded question, but I like it. So he says, also, P.S., fuck you guys. I took a headset, a laptop, and a mobile modem to the hotel I'm staying at down at the Gold Coast just so I could call in. Goat Lust. So,
in fact, they have a place called the Gold
Coast. The Gold Coast?
Say fuck you means basically fuck you, Goat Lust. So.
Gold Coast is actually where a dingo ate a baby. I'm just kidding. I don't know.
My brother's baby died from a dingo. I don't.
That question's so loaded.
I know it is. So
what is it? I didn't understand.
Wait, choose one player and one caster who you would like to double in popularity,
you hate
or that you
like.
Love,
and then one player and one caster that you would like to have in popularity.
Half.
Half.
Okay, I thought you said have, and I was
half.
Like, Is that a weird How? Old English way How? Of saying, like, to be with them during popularity? I don't... Okay. I absolutely am not going first. The person that doesn't have a problem answering this question should go first. That is Idra Greg Fields.
Oh,
away.
Nice.
I have to think about it.
All right. I'll
know, like, I'm thinking about it, too. Like,
Okay. I've got one. My player to increase in popularity would be Violet. I like watching him play. I think he's, like, a good personality. I think that... Well,
rich get richer, huh?
I mean, you know, that's probably why he's not as popular as you, Idra, but I'm just answering the question.
Yeah, if you were good, it'd be okay if you were popular. I mean, I'd be fine with that.
Okay. All right. Well, Idra doesn't like my answer. I can't wait to hear yours. So, and one caster.
The cast one.
Caster, I would absolutely double Orb TL's popularity. The fucking guy is amazing.
All right. We don't care. Get to the part where now
Mr.
Corporate Wheat has to find a fucking
One player who I would half in popularity. Okay, I'm going to go to the caster first. I would half...
Or I'll slap you through the internet.
No, that would be the easy answer.
Yeah.
I would actually half Tastosis in popularity.
Damn.
And I'm going to tell you why. And this is... I mean, this is like for reals, no fluff. Like, you want me to say it, right? For several MLG events, Tastosis made more than the players who won.
Yes.
That's pretty, like, I don't know, it's normal for the biggest casters to make more than the biggest players per event.
I don't agree with that. I think
it's right, but that's
Let me put on my fighting game hat for a second here, Idra. I'm putting my fighting game hat on, okay? I come from the old school where I watched guys win $25,000 and fucking went to the event on my own dime. I'm very thankful that I get paid now to come and do some of these events, but I absolutely do not feel that it is right, no matter...
That's actually a discussion that should be had, because me and Nick and Dan were actually talking about this. And that specific thing, and they brought up the point. It's different for other players because they don't have as big of a salary. But me and Chris have, like, EG supports us really well. We have a base salary, just like we don't have to live off prizes and all the other income and revenue. So prize money is on top of that for us. But Tastosis, all they get is their money from casting GSL or casting LG. There may be other additional stuff, but they don't have an organization paying them a salary to live. I don't know what you're thinking about.
Well, they don't have a salary. Handsome Nerd not doing terribly.
It's
not even about that, right? The question is hypothetical, right? Everyone, I mean, I'm sure Reddit is blowing up right now and fucking DJ Leech jealous of Nick and Dan. It's like, dude, I have grown up with Nick and Dan in esports. Like, they will probably laugh at my answer and be like, "Oh, Wheat's right. Isn't this awesome?" You know. I mean, fucking Nick is. Yeah, Nick is. Nick is like, "Wheat, do you want to see my wallet, Wheat? Like, look at that shit. It's all." And I'm like, "Dude, like, Nick and Dan are laughing at this shit." So there it is. I answered as far as player. I don't know, man. Maybe Combat X. I think is probably because I just don't think he should get any. There you go. Fucking make it rain in control. So there you go. Okay, I gave you no fluff, bitches. That's what you wanted, right?
I'll take the player.
Caster.
Give me the player. No, pain user. You wait a fucking second.
Oh, you want to go?
No. Wheat has to answer the player.
I did. I said Combat X.
No, he did.
I
said Combat X.
That's... Okay. Completely
reasonable. That's... Okay. All right. I'm going to... You took two of mine, but I'll take two opposite ones just to... To stir things up a bit. Caster, I would half in popularity. Would definitely be Total Biscuit, but that's just a personal thing for me. Because I prefer analysis casters, and Total Biscuit talks really, really fast, and he gets a lot of like play-by-play and content out there, but it's not necessarily what I'm looking for as a player. A lot of the stuff he says just makes absolutely no sense to me, but it's like, he's just talking really, really fast. And some people like that, it's entertaining. But for me, I like it when casters really, even if they don't understand the game deeply, that they just have some understanding of the game. And if they're working with an analysis caster, if they can vibe off the analysis caster and ask them questions, then I prefer that. This is a hypothetical, by the way. I have nothing against TB. I'm just saying.
Listen, I mean,
we're trying to do no fluff, you guys. Stop.
Yeah, like
Take and who easy. Is DJing in my ear right now?
Adra, I think.
Caster that I would double in popularity is definitely Orb TL, for sure. I've known him for a long time, since beta, and he was a super creative player then, and then he transitioned into casting. He's put in a lot of time, he's put in a lot of hard work, and I'm glad he found a part-time home at NASL for at least for last season. So I think Orb's an awesome caster. I'd like to see him do well. Players.
Player. I mean, you got player. Multiple ones, you can do it.
Yeah.
Player that I would like to see double in popularity, who is kind of doing it right now, is Leenok.
Yeah.
He's been my favorite Zerg player for forever, since way back when I saw him hold a four gate with, like, half the amount of units that he should have had to hold it off. His micro is insane. And he's just, like, seems like a really genuine guy. Young kid, has nothing but the world ahead of him, so I want to see him do really, really well. Player I would like to have in popularity. I don't know. Maybe,
wave the magic wand. Who
maybe,
is
maybe,
it?
Maybe Naniwa. Because okay.
That's like the totally safe answer.
No, it's not safe at all. I'm going to go no fluff on this. Like, Naniwa is the type of guy that it's tough for him to make friends. And I was nothing but nice to that kid for the longest time when I played. And we practiced together a lot. And, like, we definitely got into a few fights over some really dumb shit. Like, practicing games and, you know, who did this strategy and I lost because you weren't playing a macro game or whatever. Like, stupid shit that friends, you know, should, like, really get over. And we pretty much lost our friendship because of that. And it's like, I'm a pretty easygoing guy. So for me to lose a friend over some shit like that, I think it was really, really stupid. And I haven't really talked to him that much since. But he was definitely a friend of mine, and we practiced a lot during the beta. We were both good.
This is like the view, guys. I'm really, like, I'm really feeling this shit,
yeah,
man.
For sure.
Like, I am. Who's next, man?
I really don't understand why people give Naniwa so much shit and not Stefano. Because they're, like, the exact same people. They've even done some of the same shit that pisses people off.
In real life, Stefano's been nothing but cool to me. Like, I spent...
Naniwa's reasonably cool to talk to directly, like, personally, too. But he's a pain in the ass to work with. But Stefano kind of is, too. He's thrown matches just because he doesn't give a shit. He's incredibly arrogant and condescending. Like...
He is really arrogant.
And everyone fucking loves Stefano and hates Naniwa.
His acceptance speech at IPL 3 was like...
That was hilarious and
he was
terrible.
Like, that shit was easy. I expected it to be so much harder.
Well, like, in-game was lucky. He got built-in advantages every game, and then when he scouts it, he, like, types a smiley face and GG and shit. I don't know how he gets away with it. I'm jealous. I want him to tell me his secrets.
Oh, Greg.
In control.
Stefano's a little bit more, like... Has a little bit more tact, though.
He's French, so it's expected.
Yeah. I guess a little bit of that, too, but...
In control. It's your turn to get thrown under the bus.
So
let's do it.
Fucked up. Well, the thing is, right, it's nice that you guys are ending with me, because...
No, we're not. Idra hasn't gone yet.
Everything you guys all said doesn't fucking matter. It's gonna be...
Idra hasn't gone yet. Do you want
Oh, shit, that's right. Okay, yeah. Good. Yeah, I'm good. okay. Player I would want to have more popularity... would be my Brohan Rocker. He's actually a pretty good player, and he actually just spent the last week with us training and did very well here. He beat Crazy Moving, a Code A Zerg from Korea. He beat him 2-1 in a clan war. He actually all killed a couple teams. He just actually does very silently really well. But the thing is, if you're not winning like an MLG or doing really well in the major events, nobody fucking knows who you are. So in this hypothetical imaginary world where I get to bestow magic upon someone, it would be my brother. The caster I would want to get more attention, I agree with the orb one, but it's just kind of lame when we all say orb, so...
Or it means something.
Okay.
Right?
I guess that's the easy way to go about it then. Then I would say orb. I think Orb is a fantastic caster. I think he has, like, he takes a really professional approach to it. I was watching him during NESL very intently because I do see him as one of the talents. Like, in matter of fact, our top-tier casters is actually a very small pool of people as far as I'm concerned. So I'm really excited about the possibility of new guys coming in that I really think could carry the torch for our community and really attract people to the sport. And I think Orb is one of those guys because he... He has a beautiful voice, he speaks very well, he's analytical, He's able to inject humor in there. I just think he has it all. If he is listening to this, and hopefully he will, because he's just going to like jerk off to the whole thing. I would say he does need to loosen up a little bit more on camera. Perhaps that's more of an experience thing. But he, I felt like there was a pole of steel going down his back, whereas he probably should act much more comfortable and interact with this co-commentator. And of course, the story is true that throughout the NASL, from beginning to end, he got better at doing that towards the end. So
that's hilarious.
It could just be me being overly critical.
All right. What about Hap?
Now, goddamn, this is good stuff. You guys love this stuff. I'll start off with commentators. Bitter Damn needs to take it down a notch.
Interesting.
I don't know.
I kind of agree.
I'm not going to go full board on this.
Go full board.
No, I'm not.
I think it's fair to say that all the casters have pretty thick skins, so and it's hypothetical. Oh, no?
I'm sorry.
I'm rewinding. I think that most casters have pretty thick skins. I don't think that Kevin
no.
has, you know. Okay.
Okay,
no.
Let me say this.
No.
I know Mr. Bitter. He's a friend of mine. I love the guy. You know, I was part of his coaching program. I've hung out and had many a drunken meets with him at MLG. His girlfriend is absolutely stunningly gorgeous. But when they commentate, sometimes I feel like they argue a lot and just flat out on camera, and it gets to the point where perhaps that's how they interact, and I sympathize with that mentality, because a lot of people thought Greedthorpe and I did that too. So I could see the same criticism being rang against me and Greedthorpe from NASL Season 1, but as a spectator, for Bitter Damn, it was... And then they're just not that funny.
It's kind of interesting because like, there is a certain old married couple mentality that I feel like they sort of, you know, have, and being a married guy, like, I kind of find it a bit amusing, so, you know, I don't know.
But I will say this, they are two of the best casters in Europe, so, you know, and they're going to get better the more experience they have and the more comfortable they get, and they're both intelligent, good people. They both play the game a lot, which I really respect.
Yeah.
Rotterdam in particular is, you know, at the top of his master's division in Europe, and then Bitters obviously plays a lot. So if I'm asked the uncomfortable question to pick one, that's the one I would do. And then as far as player is concerned, it's kind of interesting.
Don't say Combat X or Deezer. That's like...
No.
I already said Combat X.
This week.
No. I mean, I'm of the sentiment that players, if anything, they need more attention, but I guess if, like, in this hypothetical, we're going to talk about, like, reduce their fame and somehow it gets injected into the community and some other people enjoy more fame, that at least lets me wrap my head around it. I would say fucking Greg, you better have answers, by the way, too, because I'm taking a long ass time trying to think. Players should be less popular. TLO. Some guys, I mean, Teal is a great guy, obviously. Fucking awesome guy, everyone loves him. But I think there's this weird attachment to play style, whether it turns out results or not, and then, like, goofing around and stuff on stage, and people really, really, really like that. So, if that could be less popular, I suppose. I don't know. People want drama out of this. There's no drama. I actually have nothing against TLO. That's the only one I could think of. And look at the chat.
What? They're like, no, I love TLO. His beard is great. It's a hypothetical situation. I mean, we're all going to... No one's going to watch the show after this episode anyway. So, you know, everyone will forget about it in 24 hours. It's all good.
Unless you fucking... He fucking once beat you. Almost got a winning record against you, you fucking asshole. And it's like,
I know.
Calm down, guys. We're doing a hypothetical here.
I know. Greg, it is your turn, sir, and then we're going to wrap up real quick. For sure.
Okay, for doubles for the player, it's kind of weird because he's already really popular, but I don't pay a lot of attention to up-and-coming, so I can't, like, call the next big player. I'd say Sen, though, because he's just, like, an awesome guy and incredibly friendly and funny and just great to hang out with, and he's really, really good, and I knew him since way back in StarCraft 1, where he was, like, one of the most talented players, and I practiced with him a ton. And he doesn't go to all the foreign events, and he, for some reason, just hasn't won one. He always gets, like, third place. So, yeah, he deserves to be loved. And then for casters, I basically don't listen to any casters who aren't Tastosis and some of the MLG guys, like Wheat, JP, whatever. So I can't call any up-and-comings there either. Orb was really good at NASL, and he has, like, I haven't seen a single bad word about him. I've seen a lot of positive feedback, so I'd say Orb's a fairly good choice. Well, that's just bandwagoning with you guys. And then for the negatives, for players, I would have said Cass a week ago, because I really dislike online heroes.
The chat predicted your answer, by the way. Just
Wait. I said, would have said.
Oh, okay, ago. Okay.
Greg, do a top five, though, and honestly. Like, a true major answer to top five.
I would have said that because I really dislike online heroes who get huge fan followings, because that's just such a small portion, like, offline is all that matters. But he has recently started to perform better offline, so he's kind of working his way out of that. Maybe he's actually legitimately good. So I guess my answer will be... Wait, what was it? I have one.
Greg, how is
possible? No. I was sitting here looking for through TLG, and I found one that was really good.
Okay.
Oh, Kiwikaki. Kiwikaki. He gets so much credit for, like, being creative and doing these off-the-wall things that work, but then the other half of the time he just fucking fails miserably. And my theory is that he doesn't have any idea what he's doing, and sometimes it works out, and then he gets a lot of credit for it, and most of the time it doesn't work out. Like when he goes 6 zealots and just two-star Void Ray every game for 3 months. And people just ignore that for some reason. So yeah, he needs to not get credit for that.
Nah, dude, I didn't ignore that at all. I was dogging him on all my casts because he did the same. He did the same 2-gate, like, Chrono Boost out 6 zealots into 2-Stargate opener like 15 times, and I swear it worked like twice.
He's a creative genius, man. You should shut up.
It works like twice, and he just like kept doing it like over and over. And I was like, I've never seen this work. I don't think it's gonna work, and he just gets shut down. Like, it's good, competent Zergs. He would beat a lot of other Zergs, though, that, like, didn't know that he did it all the time, or that just, like, didn't scout. They'd lose to the double star.
Well, he puts the 2 gateways at, like, the front of his base, so you just have to not see it.
Cruncher, Mana,
No, Mana's okay-ish.
They're all pro-rosses,
anyway, I only had to name one. Yeah,
all right.
You only had to name one.
And finally...
For the caster, Day9, he's gotten to the point where he has such a cult following that, like, he can do no wrong, and he just says anything, and a GIF gets put up, and his fan base grows, and he gets more popular. But as a caster, it's actually kind of uncomfortable to listen to him, because he just ignores his co-caster. He does a daily up on stage every time he casts the game.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And, I mean, people like him so much that, like, it brings him popularity for the tournaments anyway, and he does it well. He does it every day for, like, years, so he's really good at what he does. But as a caster, that's not what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to interact with your co-caster. You're supposed to make it, like, a show. And I don't think he really does that.
I totally agree.
I actually disagree.
Well, dude,
just because...
You have to work with him.
Well, I mean, I've seen exactly what you're talking about, Greg, but I don't feel like I necessarily get that. You know?
Like, the perfect... like, person,
uh-huh.
You embody
uh-huh.
the caster to
yeah,
play with
him. Yeah, you are the easiest caster to play
you're
off of.
You're the easiest caster to ignore, we.
Oh, shit. Thank you, In Control. That, we'll just wrap up with that right there. I am the easiest caster to ignore, so everything that I've said, just fucking, just ignore it. Thank you. I love it. All right, guys, we got to wrap up quick, because as you can see, those guys behind Greg are going to eat all the shit that Greg wants to eat. So, Greg, peace. We'll just say I'll do the sponsor run for you. Thanks to Steel Series, Monster, Kingston HyperX, Intel. Go buy Beyond Gaming. Go buy shirts at Split Reasons. It's got the release the Kraken shirt. It's really awesome. You should all buy it immediately. Greg, go
pretty
eat,
good
man.
At this.
I am, dude. I learned from you, buddy.
I've heard it so many times.
I heard from you. No, seriously, you could go eat, dude.
Go sit on the floor and eat your breakfast.
Yeah, we'll wrap up.
Jealous.
Oh, man. Bye, bye. But you got leave your cam on. Leave your cam on. You son of a bitch, Greg. God, I'm the most ignored caster. Fuck. By the way, for the record, it is 150 degrees in this room, and that is why we are, like, fucking turning into...
I'm sweating up. I'm red.
I am, oh, my God. It is so fucking hot here. I'm so glad to be wrapping the show. In Control, you are now on two screens here.
Well, a couple things. I mean, I hear pain user and talking slower, so I'm going to do my best to run through.
I've got to pee so bad, Jeff. Come on.
I hearken back to the blue gurgling brook stream of life and the rainfall and just the bodies of water. Are you visualizing this, pain user? I really think if you trickle down to the element of what I have to thank for, it is, of course, my wonderful sponsors, Intel, and the luscious, just liquid drink that is Monster. Monster, I mean, pain user, work with me here. If you could picture it just flowing down through our body and rejuvenating everything as it exits our body.
As a bright yellow radioactive.
Exactly.
Full of caffeine and all kinds of other good stuff.
Much like what made the Ninja Turtles so powerful. Monsters has been known to do that as well. Kingston HyperX. I also want to thank Beyond Gaming and all of our other wonderful sponsors. Is there a break for our show, or we keep on going forever?
What do you mean? We're wrapping up right now.
No. Like, next week we have an inside game.
Oh, whoa. Yes. That's the last show of the season.
Oh, it is. And then we, like, go on a break for a month or so?
I don't know about a month, but for a while.
Okay.
Yeah.
As long as it takes Weed to figure out when he wants to do more content.
Exactly.
What he does. Anyways.
That's what I do.
Thank you to everyone else as well. Don't hate on me too much on Reddit for this, please. Like I said, it was a hypothetical question, and I love TLO.
Oh, dude, trust me, we're all going to get blown the fuck up, but like I said, it'll last 24 hours. If people know Goatlust and what he was trying to do, I actually have to commend Goatlust. Like, he did a good job with that. So.
This time he did it. He does have a lust of the goat, yeah.
It's no one's going to die. I don't think anyone's feelings got hurt. It's all okay, guys.
Follow me on Twitter, EGNcontrol.